Salo Falava, I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki, and I'm inviting you to join me on a journey through the evolution of our Pacific cultures on Culture Compass. We'll meet incredible people dedicated to preserving traditions while adapting them for today's world. Join me as we travel the Pacific to celebrate our resilience, revival, and deep-rooted connection.
Search for Culture Compass wherever you get your podcasts to listen.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malola Lee, and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes, and I absolutely love bringing you Pacifica sports news and stories each week here on the show, as well as everywhere else you might see me pop up across the ABC. And as usual, on Fresh Off the Field, we'll be joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific who will share the latest local sports news in the islands, and we'll get to them right now. My first co-host is a Nevan cricketer and commentator, Melissa Fade. Hello, Mel.
Hello, Sam. How are you?
I am very well. What's happening in your world at the moment?
My world at the moment is basically just cricket and uni. I'm barely floating. I'm surviving, but look, it's always fun to be on the show on a Thursday morning and pretend like I've got nothing else going on in my life and to just talk about sport because I love it.
Everyone's wearing multiple hats, spinning a fair few plates, but it is summertime. The cricket season is upon us. What's the most exciting bit leading into the start of the cricket season?
Oh, I think I don't think anything was exciting for me, Sam, because it was all anticipation about just playing my first game of cricket after injury. So it was just a lot of
that wasn't exciting.
It was not exciting. I can tell you that. I was more nervous. I was more scared than anything going into the season. But now I am very excited every week to go to cricket on a Sunday and play cricket. Unfortunately, like my last two games have been washed out because of the rain. Weather in Adelaide hasn't been the best, but we've made the T20 finals thanks to the rain over the weekend. So we'll be playing in the T20 finals.
Oh, well, good luck, and hopefully you become more than just a team manager like you were over there. You actually get get a few winnings in. But anyway, let's get to our other co-host, and she's returning again from last week, so she's going back to back. She is PNG's number one sports journalist. It is the one, the only, Jamie Huddle.
Hello, Sam. It's great to be back for another week and another interesting episode for Fresh Off the Field.
Interesting is a very good word to use on Fresh Off the Field. You never know what you get, even though we can be prepared as as best we can. But if Jamie does drop out, by the way, it's because her phone is on 7% and she hasn't had the ability to charge her phone. So hopefully she stays with us for the whole show and we get through it. But it is good to get you back on again because you were amazing last week. But let's get to what's coming up on the show. You'll meet Manami Ijima, the first triathlete to represent Guam and the Pacific Islands in the 2024 Paris Olympics.
It's still surreal because, well, we're this tiny island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And I think when they call out Guam, Manami Ijima, I'm like, wow, this is crazy. People are getting to know where Guam is, and I think it's such an honor.
And later you will hear from a rising star from Papua New Guinea who's making her mark on the squash courts in Europe. And guess what? She's only 13.
In my finals, I knew it would be a good match because she was seed number one. And I wasn't fully confident I could get the game, but I also had some confidence and thought that I could win. So I knew that it would be a tough match, and at the end, I got the game.
Plus, we'll hear from the chairperson of Athletes Commission at the Oceania Athletics and World Athletics, along with some of the competitors who recently took part in the Oceania Athletics Masters Cup last week in Tonga.
Yeah, it's a great experience to represent Micronesia. It's my first time representing the Micronesian region, and I think it's more fun to do that. And yeah, it was amazing.
There's also news in the world of sailing, soccer, cricket, and of course, our very fun trivia and games. So let's get into it.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Yes, here on Fresh Off the Field, you're going to hear sports stories galore. But at the top of the show, we do like to start big. So let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
The Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news stories in your town, the sport or event or athlete that has everyone talking. And if it's making waves, it'll be on the Coconut Wireless. And Melissa, we're going to start with you. What have you got for us?
Yes, the biggest talking point in Vanuatu sport right now is the country's first professional football club. And that's in relation to the OFC Professional League. And Vanuatu's first professional football club, the Vanuatu United FC, or as they would call it in Vanuatu, the Chiefs, is getting ready to start its journey in the OFC Pro League, which is very, very exciting for football in the country. For the first time ever, Vanuatu will have a club playing in a fully professional competition alongside some of the top teams from New Zealand, from Solomon Islands, Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Tahiti and Australia. And this is a major, major step for the country and one that many football fans have been waiting for. And you could imagine how big this conversation is in Vanuatu right now, given that Vanuatu is a football crazy country. We love our football. And for those who are wondering what kind of football I'm talking about soccer. Vanuatu is soccer mad. We love our football. And so the Vanuatu United FC has become a huge, huge talking point on social media. Even I was talking on the phone to my parents and they were both talking about it and they never really paid much attention unless it's the World Cup. So people are talking about it all around Port Vila and across the islands are watching this closely and are following this on social media, on Facebook. And this week there's been even more interest after the club announced its first signing. The Vanuatu United FC have brought in Australian goalkeeper Matthew Acton, who has experience in the A-League, who has played in the A-League and in Asia as well. And the expectation for him is that he will come to Vanuatu and help set standards and bring some leadership across the new team build and its squad as well. And also just set kind of the team culture leading, moving forward in terms of its professionalism. But the club says that it will sign a total of 14 local players and 6 overseas players. And while no local players have been confirmed yet, there is a lot of talk and excitement about who will be picked and what this means for football development in Vanuatu. So this could go either way. It's either people are going to be so happy with the squad, or then we'll have coaches from, as we call it in Vanuatu, bush coaches, bush lawyers, cover bar coaches will come out. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that, seeing how big football is in the country. But yeah, no local players have been confirmed yet, but there is a lot of talk around that at the moment. And for many, many fans, this moment is, I suppose, like we always say this, it's more than sport, but this is really more than football because it represents a new pathway for local players and a chance for them to compete professionally and at the same time earn a living. And it is also a sign that Vanuatu is ready to start taking on that challenge on the bigger stage as well. So really, really looking forward to that. And this also brings Vanuatu closer to the World Cup. So this might be an opportunity if we get the club sorted properly and have really good competitive players in there, really disciplined players in there. It's a great opportunity. It's a chance to qualify for the FIFA World Cup as well. And I think right now there's a real sense of anticipation across the football community, and also there's a lot of pride in seeing Vanuatu taking that next step in football.
Did you say bush coaches?
Oh, yes. Oh, we've got lots of those. It's like we have bush coaches. There's usually to refer to, you know, something will happen.
Yeah, the couch coaches.
Goes to the Nakamal and yeah.
I get that. Oh, man, how funny is that? You call them the bush coaches. Let's move over to you now. Jamie, what's the talk of the town from your angle?
I guess today is about football, because apart from the PNG Kumuls claiming the third bowl championship over the weekend and the fuss about the name Chiefs, I mean the NRL and all that for Papua New Guinea, we also have some big news for football. As you know, last week I mentioned about the Melanesian Cup, which kicks off next week, Tuesday. So a lot of good talks around that. People are so excited to watch football come to Papua New Guinea and bring, you know, the Melanesian countries coming to compete. So for Papua New Guinea, we have the PNG veteran striker, Raymond Gonemba, who is expected to lead the Papua New Guinea couples, as mentioned, gold team, as they defend the Melanesian Spearhead Group or Prime Minister's Cup title on home soil. when the tournament kicks off next Tuesday. Now, last week, Thursday, the PNG Football Association made this announcement and mentioned Gunemba, and then also added that there will not be only two teams for the men's and women's, but four actually to represent our country in this historic event. Now, these four teams include the elite men's and women's, the couples and Lakatois, and the two other teams are actually, they confirm that it's actually the development squad consisting of the under-23 PNG men's and the under-20 women's development team for Papua New Guinea. So the fourth men's MSG Cup edition will be played alongside the women's inaugural MSG Cup. So this is the first for the women's here in Papua New Guinea. So it's very special to have the women's MSG Cup now finally being played throughout. Will be started here in Port Moresby before it continues to the other Melanesian countries. Now, the matches will be played at the Sir John Guy Stadium and PNG Football Stadium in Port Moresby, while Laser Ignatius Kilagi Stadium will host two exhibition matches to showcase the excitement of the tournament in Morobe Province. Meanwhile, Raymond Gunemba, also known as RG7 to his fans, has been given this role to lead, as he has done in the previous MSG Cups while winning those titles, as we've seen in the media. His inclusion to PNG Couples team reflects a blend of experience and youth that PNGFA has been emphasizing on in terms of preparing the national squad. So in the PNG Couples squad, we also have a couple of players, which Mel was just talking about, the OFC Pro League. So to have a couple of players from the PNG Hekari United join is a perfect blend of experience and youth. So really looking forward to the MSG Cup kickoff next week here in Port Moresby.
What was his nickname again? Can you say that again?
RG7.
Who had that style of nickname first? Was it him or Cristiano Ronaldo?
I think it's Cristiano Ronaldo, but because
that's not the answer. Just go to RG7. He's the OG. He is the OG.
He's the OG. He also came up with that name because he's known to his fans, because although he's like, you know, aged out, he still has that pace and he can actually beat the emerging strikers. So that's why he's known to a lot of people as RG7, because of the jersey number and, you know, his initials. So yeah.
And he's the man as well. So looking forward to seeing him still run around until the wheels fall off. But as always, ladies, thank you so much for filling us in on what's floating around on the Coconut Wireless.
Fresh off the field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific, ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with myself, Sam Wykes, Melissa Fade, and Jamie Huddle. And it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our islands. And Mel, we will start with you. What's caught your eye in Vanuatu?
Cricket. Back to my sport.
Cricket
caught my eye. It hasn't caught my eye in a really long time, which
well, hopefully you catch it with your hands. So that's that's probably the main thing in cricket. You don't want it hit in your eye, otherwise there'll be... be looking pretty dark, I reckon.
I mean, I had no use of my one arm for a really long time, Sam. So maybe it was.
So you're good at a one-hand catch. Fair enough. But what have you got for us?
Well, I've got the grand finals of the domestic Vanuatu Cricket Domestic Shield, which just happened over the weekend. Seeing North Efate Bushbicks, I love their name so much. North Efate Bushbicks. They have got Tafea Bushbicks. Sorry, not Tafea Bushbicks. Tafea Sandalwood have beat North Efate Bushbicks in the grand final of the Domestic Shield. And this came about thanks to the 17-year-old captain for the Tafea side. He is 17-year-old and scored a century in the grand final to take the team into to become the champions of the Domestic Shield in Vanuatu. Now, this performance is a breakout, all-round breakout performance for him, because it led Vanuatu Tafea Cricket Club to the 2025 Domestic Shield, kicking out not their Fata Pushbeck, who unfortunately for them, they've made all grand finals this year and have not won any. So this is another disappointing results for them. But Tafea, you know, they batted in the 40 overs. They scored 237 runs, which for our standards in Vanuatu is actually a pretty good total. So, they've also got a century in their team. But that 237 runs off their 40 overs is pretty good total score for them. But 17-year-old Roderick came into Fort Taffia Cricket Club and said, nope, today's not your day. I'm going to make sure you lose this grand final too, and scored 108 runs not out off just 88 balls. So everybody else was playing 40-over cricket. He was playing T20 cricket. But Taffia, they began their reply. They started off really, really slow. They lost a couple of wickets in that grand final in their chase. But again, Roderick came in, 17-year-old. His performance was outstanding, and he cemented status as one of Vanuatu cricket's brightest stars. And I think the national team will now be looking at him very, very closely. But unfortunately for Taffia, not a year for them. Made all grand finals, did not win anything. They were the champions from last year and have lost to Taffia Sandalwood in this tournament. But look, great results coming out of Vanuatu cricket. I know that they struggled a little bit with this tournament, trying to get players together, because they have players playing overseas in Melbourne at the moment, so they don't have their national most of the national sides are playing, especially Taffia. Taffia has three of their players, national players, in Melbourne at the moment, playing club cricket in Melbourne, playing premier cricket in Melbourne, to gain experience and have some exposure into some and better cricket. But speaking of that, we also have three of our girls in Melbourne as well playing. So lots has been happening with Vanuatu cricket. Taffia Sandalwood beat Notifata Bushpicks, who played the full strength side. Taffia with a weaker strength team, but still managed under the guidance of their young captain, 17-year-old captain. But lots has been happening in Vanuatu sport, and I thought to mention Vanuatu cricket today, and I'm looking forward to whatever they have coming up next.
Yeah, sometimes it's always, you can look at it in a way where the side is weakened because of some inexperience there and players coming through. But I think it's just a wonderful opportunity to gain that experience and understand there is a pathway to be able to play more cricket over in Australia and get your experience there and get more runs on the board, take it back. And everyone on the islands understands that these are really good opportunities. So hopefully they're not too disheartened by the fact they might have been a little bit weaker there, but it's just an opportunity for someone else to Absolutely. Step up. Did you say the Bush Pigs? It's the Bush Pigs?
Yes, team? It's yeah. the North Fighter Bush Pigs.
Yeah, what a name. I'm just going to...
Yeah.
Probably the best name in world sport.
One of the oldest clubs as well in Vanuatu cricket, so they've had this name for a really long time.
Let's get to you now, Jamie. What's happening in Papua New Guinea?
For Papua New Guinea, I picked out for local. Obviously, we're talking about racket sport here. So tennis is one of the biggest tournament that happened over the weekend for PNG Open. Now, the lay juniors from the tennis club have returned to Morobe with an impressive 11 trophies, which is the biggest win they've had since the junior club was established back in 2018. And to have a big group of juniors from Leh travel to Port Moresby to compete in the KPHL PNG Tennis Open over the weekend meant a lot to the new association. Now, apart from the standout performance that they've had over the weekend, it was a young girl named Belula Bossi who won the under-10 girls singles title. It's the first time they've won a title apart from, you know, having a competitive challenge against the Port Moresby Tennis Club here. And while in the under-12 girls singles, Macklin Manninga, who happens to be a PNG junior, also representative from Leh Tennis, finished as runner-up, while JC Josiah secured third place in the under-12 boys singles. Now, Cassandra Thomas, who's also another junior representative, claimed third in the under-14 girls single, and Irene Josie took out third in the under-16 girls single. So a lot of girls making name for the Leh Tennis in this PNG Open. While in the doubles, Manninga teamed up with Alani Smith, who's Australian-based PNG player, to win the under-12 mixed doubles. Bossy and Timothy Koliwan, another junior representative, were runners-up in the same division. So a couple of players from the Port Moresby and overseas-based teamed up with the Leh teams for the doubles, and they had great results for both the boys' doubles, girls' doubles, and the mixed doubles. I had a chat to the LTC president, Glenn Gabasak, a couple of weeks ago about the development in, you know, having tennis development in Leh. And he mentioned that it's really great to see the growth of the development program that they've been running, or the clinics they've been running in Leh, to bring up or, you know, not ruin, but raise the standard of tennis in Lae. And from the results, you can tell that that development program that they've been running since last year has been paying off. So kudos to these young juniors, and we're hopeful to see a lot of them, you know, make it into the PNG junior squad, who always represent us at the Pacific tournaments, especially in Fiji. And yeah, really good results for Lae juniors.
Yeah, nice work. And let's move over to what's grabbed your attention from across the Pacific.
Well, I was scrolling through this morning and I found out that the Fiji or Junior Bulla Boys under 17 men's football team just had their first match played in the under FIFA under 17 men's World Cup in Doha, Qatar. Now, this is Fiji's first time to appear in the first World Cup, and they were pulled in Group D with a few heavyweights, including Argentina, Belgium, and Tunisia. Now, unfortunately for the Bulla Boys, Junior Bulla Boys, they opened a campaign against Tunisia and lost 6-0. Obviously, a very strong team there, Tunisia. But they're looking forward to another matchup with Belgium when they play tomorrow morning at about 12 a.m. Now, despite the results, head coach Sunil Kumar, who prior to departure for the World Cup, told local media that although it will be tough for the young team, they are ready to face the challenges. It is also a great opportunity to get as much exposure as they can while competing in this Under-17 World Cup. Now, they qualified for this tournament or to compete in this FIFA World Cup after finishing third, unfortunately defeating Papua New Guinea to secure this ticket to the Under-17 Men's World Cup. And that was during the OFC FIFA World Cup qualifier. Under 17 men's qualifiers in Solomon Islands early this year. So they're soaking in that experience at the FIFA World Cup. Now, apart from Fiji, we also have the New Caledonian side, who were placed in Group B alongside Portugal, Japan, and Morocco. This is their third FIFA World Cup appearance, under 17 World Cup appearance. They also lost to Portugal. 6-1 in the Group B stages, or their first match. And Fiji and New Caledonia are represented. While they're representing the Pacific, we also have the Big Brothers of from New Zealand, the Junior All-Whites, who made their 11th FIFA World Cup appearance and placed in Group L of the tournament. So it's actually quite good, really nice to see that we have now three sports available for Pacific Islands, Pacific Island countries. In the OFC space to have that opportunity and exposure to compete in bigger tournaments in football, especially in when it comes to FIFA World Cups in the future.
Yeah, keep flying the flag, Fiji, at that Under-17s World Cup on the world stage, making their debut. It's a fantastic achievement. Doesn't matter about the results here, because the inspiration and the stories that will come from them being over there, playing in that type of environment, is only going to do wonderful things moving forward. And a big shout out as well to Melvin Prakash, the goalkeeper for Fiji. I know he saved a couple of crucial goals early on in the game before they ended up scoring in the 30th minute. But plenty of improvement, but just, yeah, keep flying that flag. Well done. And Mel, Jamie, always appreciate you bringing through some of the sporting news from across the Pacific until we get to our game.
Join Natasha Metin for Sisters Let's Talk, a program that explores issues that are in the hearts and minds of Pacific women.
We went through a whole lot of training. We gave the women all this information so that those who chose to become candidates would do up their platform to suit the needs of the women on the ground here in Bougainville.
Sisters Let's Talk, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gyaman Stopwe. Yes, and when I mean our game, it is our first game of Fresh Off the Field for our show, which is Gyaman Stopwe, and it is Talk Piss and Four Pick the Lie. And each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true, one will be a lie, and this is going to be very hard for Jamie because she was struggling last week because she feels like she's running out of lies. Now she's had to back it up again at short notice with about 4% battery still left. Are we still good, Jamie?
We're good.
We're still good. Okay, I better stop talking and we get into the game, but we'll start with you, Jamie. What are your three things?
So to be honest, I didn't come prepared, but I will go with what happened to me over the weekend. I twisted my right ankle. That's the first one.
Man, that was a long pause. That was a long pause to think about. Was it my left or was it my right? Or did I actually twist it? Okay. Next one.
Yeah, so, I twisted my right ankle while playing rugby union on the beach on Sunday. And the second one, I twisted my left ankle playing rugby union on the beach on Sunday. And the third one is I popped my right shoulder again after playing rugby union over the weekend.
I think this is a sign for you to stop playing rugby union. Touch footy. You just stick to being the number one sports reporter in PNG. I think that's your new title. Stop playing contact sport. Because there's so many injuries here. I thought you were going to lie about the first one, but there's three possibilities. Mel, you know all too well about injuries around the shoulder.
Yes, and I got mine from touch rugby.
Oh, really? So yeah, both of you don't play it anymore. Yep. Don't play that sport.
It's like my first time playing touch rugby, and that was how I did it the first time. I think the first one, I should twist at a right angle ankle purely because of that long pause. It's like she was really thinking about it.
I know.
So I think the lie is that she twisted.
Or did she do both ankles and she's lying about the right shoulder?
Are you able to walk right now, Jamie?
You know, you're becoming like Sam to questions asked. Once you guys
are going to No, I don't want to turn into Sam. I'm not going to ask any questions.
If there's more Sams out there in this world like me, mate, this would be a better place. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
But, thank you. You agree too. But I think you popped your right shoulder again.
I think you guys got it wrong. Not I think, but you guys got it wrong, actually. So I did twist my ankle on Sunday, right ankle. It swelled up and I ended up at the hospital to ask the nurse to check it out. My shoulder, the existing injury started aching again from the rugby union match. So the lie was the left ankle. I did not twist my left ankle. It was the right and my shoulder. So that was the lie there.
Oh my goodness. I know. There's so many questions that I want to ask because it's walking, moving, day-to-day chores, but we don't have enough time and you don't have enough battery left to continue that conversation. But Mel, let's go to you.
Okay, just some context. I went through a phase in life where I just looked like a teenage boy because of the decisions that I made. So I cut my hair like buzz cut short, fully. And I just dyed my hair so many different colors. And I did look like a teenage boy. I was going through customs in Australia and the guy couldn't believe that it was the same person. The lady with the nice hair and then the little boyish look that I had. But anyway, pick the lie. I've had so many different hair colors during that period. Except one. So all the hair colors that I've had pink, I've had burgundy, and I've had copper orange. No, not copper orange, copper blonde.
Wow. There's some out there colors. I've actually done copper blonde too, not because I want it to be copper, but you know how you do it yourself at home and you don't know how to do the coloring properly. Yeah, it didn't look great. Just tried to do the tips and make it curl like that. But anyway, that was my teenage phase as well. So everyone goes through it, Mel, so don't be too hard on yourself. Jamie, what are you thinking here? What color?
Copper blonde, definitely. I've tried it out too already. Yeah. So I'm caught in between burgundy and pink, but I'm going to go with burgundy.
You're going to go with burgundy?
I say you did pink and copper blonde, but you never did dye your hair to a burgundy color.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you did the Ron Burgundy. I'm going to go with that one as well.
Well, you are both wrong.
Oh!
Burgundy was one of the very first colors that I've ever gotten on my hair.
You would have gone pink.
Pink is my favorite color, but we couldn't get pink hair dye in Vanuatu, so I never got pink. I've always wanted pink hair.
Well, there you have it. Thanks for playing. We learn something new every week.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, this is Fresh Off the Field with Sam Wykes, Jamie and Melissa Fadey. We are here to give you all the entertainment from sporting news from across the Pacific, and we're going to get to our interviews right now and chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific, as well as hearing about the sports results and stories. We always love hearing from everyone involved in the game across the Pacific. And Jamie, who did you chat to this week?
So this week I had the opportunity to chat to a rising squash player. In fact, she's the number one junior squash player here in Papua New Guinea, Timona Lise Alakos-Krivish, who's currently based in Denmark. And I asked her about her recent win claiming the Junior Open in Belgium, and this is what she said.
The tournament over the weekend was really good. I got to see a boy from Tahiti named Nunui, which he also played in the Samoan tournament. So it's good to see him again in the European tournaments. My matches and games, the first two were pretty easy, and I won it quite easily. And when it came to my semifinals, it was a bit tougher, but I still won it in three. And in my finals, I knew it would be a good match because she was seeded higher than me. She was seed number one. And I wasn't fully confident I could get the game, but I also had some confidence and thought that I could win. So I knew that it would be a tough match. And at the end, I got the game. So the tournament was a really good tournament for me.
How was the finals like, especially when you went up against the number one seed junior in Belgium?
Going up against the seed number one in the finals, I was nervous in the game. And I just tried to do my best and not get the nerves in my way. So, yeah, and it felt good to have the PNG flag on my name and representing it, especially because it's like the first time a Pacific flag is playing in many European tournaments. So it feels good to be representing Papua New Guinea and finish in first place.
Since moving from Australia to Denmark, how has the transition been, or how has it been for you competing in Oceania region tournaments to now European tournaments?
Since I've moved from Australia to Denmark, training is a bit different, but different in a good way because it's also helping me in different ways of my games. So my training's a bit different, but it's still good. The tournaments, switching from playing all the Oceanian tournaments and now I'm playing the European tournaments, I feel like the European tournaments are a bit more of a push for me because there are obviously better players in Europe. So playing all these European tournaments, it gives me a push, and pushing me will make me better. So I feel like it's helping me get better in squash.
What is your ultimate goal as you continue to compete and represent PNG and the Pacific in Europe?
So my biggest goal right now for the European squash circuit is to get in the British Junior Open. I'll be playing this at the end of December, early January, to get a better place than last time. Because I played this tournament last year and I placed 35th. So this year I'm trying to get a better placing than that. The reason why this tournament is my biggest goal is because the British Junior Open is one of the biggest tournaments, because the best of the best players in the world come over to play this tournament. So yeah, there'll be many players from the good players from their countries.
What is your message to young girls who aspire to play squash in the future?
To just believe in yourselves and stay committed to your goals. It takes a lot of hard work and dedication, but if you stay focused, keep learning, and just enjoy the journey or enjoy yourself, you can achieve great things. Yeah, just don't be afraid to dream big.
Thank you to Mus for that chat. And I also had the chance to catch up with Guam triathlete Manami Ijima, who proudly flies the flag for the small island she grew up on, representing her home with passion and pride on the international stage.
I was actually a swimmer growing up. My dad was my coach, and I was training about 9 times a week when I was 10 already. So pretty intense and pretty seriously.
There's only 7 days in a week.
So Saturday and Sundays were twice a day.
Wow. So then how did you end up getting into triathlons?
I started pretty late. So I retired from swimming when I was about 18. And I went through the cycle of eating so much and gaining a bunch of weight. And my mom said, why don't we go run a 5K? And I said, okay, I will. And then when I was 25, a bunch of my friends were like, we're going to do this 70.3 in Philippines. Do you want to go? And I said, okay. Didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Did they say 70.3 and just left it at that? Or like, I'm assuming 70.3 kilometers?
70.3 miles, so half Ironman.
Oh, okay. So what's, what's miles compared to kilometers?
I don't know, but the total distance or the swim distance is 1.9K. The bike is 90K, and you run a half marathon at the end.
At the half
and
marathon.
They were doing that.
Wow. That's a lot further than I'd ever like to even just dream or imagine doing that. That sounds like torture. And so
I didn't really know what it was.
Well, now that you're in the thick of it and you ended up finding out what it was, what was that like in the moment going, have I made the right decision?
I actually didn't really think too much about it. I was just having fun doing the training, and it was more like socializing for me. And at that time I was working and going to school. So it was like an outlet for me to have fun and exercise. And yeah, it was really cool. The race was really hot and it was really hard, but for some reason I signed up for my second one after that, and here I am.
And here you are. Look, and I guess for those, for people who don't know, the triathlon is 1500 meter swim, 10 kilometer run, and a 40 kilometer cycle. Ken, knowing that you have a probably swim background, I probably figured this might be your favorite one, but what are your favorite legs?
My favorite one is running. Oh. I don't know why.
Maybe the trauma of swimming at 10, you don't want to swim anymore. But why running?
It's so simple. You can just put on shoes and go walk out and run from your door. And I feel like the other disciplines you need to kind of prepare, and you need a pool and all that. But yeah, running, you can do it anywhere and anytime. I like very easy running.
There's no
hard.
Triathlon and easy do not go hand in hand. So it's there's no such thing as an easy run like that. But what's your least favorite?
Least favorite for the race, it's called transitions. So like the in-between portion of swimming and biking. Yeah, the first transition. I don't really like that. But if I were to say I don't like something, it might be swimming.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've done it too much.
You know that transition phase, is it difficult to go into like being wet and then trying to get into, I don't know, do you stay in the same swimsuit type of thing to then get onto a bike and try and get your shoes on and cleats on and clip into the bike?
You actually have your shoes clipped on the bike. So you just put your goggles and swim cap in the basket, put your helmet on and then grab your bike and run with it and just jump on your bike and go race.
And off you go. Oh, you make it sound so easy.
Oh.
Oh, man. So, and then now your experience, it took you to the Olympic Games. First ever athlete from the Pacific Islands to represent in the triathlon at the Olympic Games. How was that experience?
It was a whole journey to just qualify, because there's only 55 or 56 athletes in the world who can compete in this event. And I needed to race 12 races, get quality points, and be within the top 180 in the world. And I started from zero. I didn't have any position in the ranking. And yeah, it was a big learning experience. I grew so much. And I think when I got to Paris, it was a shock because I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But I think it was so cool.
Oh, I've got no doubt. And how did it feel to be able to represent your country in a sport that you only picked up as a later in your teens?
It's still surreal because, well, we're this tiny island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and I think when they call out Guam, Manami, Jima. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. People are getting to know where Guam is, and I think it's such an honor. I'm still learning about the sport, so I don't know. It's exciting.
And when you're putting Guam on the map for a sport like triathlon, like, did you have to explain yourself to a lot of people, like, where it was first when they sort of say, like, oh, where's Guam, or who is that person? Where's she from?
For sure, definitely. Probably like 80 or 90% of the people didn't know where Guam was. And like the 10% who knew about Guam, I was like, really? You know where Guam is? And it was super cool, like explaining. I needed to do some Googling to make sure I have those standard answers of what's it like? What's the population? And because that's the first question.
Yeah, nice. And then the feeling of nerves going into it, how were they, like, leading into your race? How were the nerves?
I had to learn how to manage my nerves. First couple of races to qualify, I felt like I didn't belong, and I was just super nervous, and I was like, I couldn't feel like the strength in my body. So I had to learn how to do breathing exercises or change my thoughts and focus on the process instead of, oh, I need to collect points, because that was extra pressure for me. And the nerves at the Olympics, I underestimated how nervous I got, and also I needed to be stronger mentally is what I understood and what I felt. So hopefully in LA 2028, we will be able to manage that.
That's the beauty about sport. That pressure teaches you a lot about yourself and how resilient you are and how you can compete under those type of conditions. So I love hearing that side of it. And once it finished, that race, what was the feeling like after it?
Unfortunately, I couldn't finish my event because I crashed. It was a slippery event. It was raining throughout our event, and we were on the cobblestones, and, you know, there's like oil and cars went through it. And so I crashed out. I cracked my helmet in half. But once I crashed and I got back on my bike again, and I got really dizzy and tried to continue on, but I knew I couldn't because I didn't want to risk my health. It was straight to, okay, I want to qualify for the next round and do better.
Oh, I was about to ask you, how did that impact, you know, the feeling of going to the Olympics, but then obviously not being able to finish like what you have hoped for, but you still had those mm-hmm. those thoughts and feelings of like, this isn't the end.
Yeah.
That's unreal. Love that. So how different is it from going from then, say, the Olympic Games to something like the Pacific Mini Games?
Racing-wise, well, I got sick this year for the Pacific Mini Games, but I also got to do the relay with my team. And it was one of our first times that we had a relay team because we need 4 athletes. And we took the bronze, and I'm very proud of our team for doing that. But it also made me realize, like, what my Olympic journey had, like, it was a big impact in the Pacific Island community for the triathletes because no one's ever done it. And so when I went to the games, everyone was like, hey, Manami, we're so proud of you. Like, let's get a picture. Like, people were just super kind and super excited to see me and proud of what I've accomplished. Oh, I'm getting so emotional, but I really like thought, wow, this is such a beautiful thing that I was able to do.
No, you put it so well. I think when you think about the journey of the Olympics, say on a personal level, but when you come to something like the Pacific Mini Games and you see the humble experiences and everyone coming from like small, tiny islands, like, how does that make you feel that like triathlons are part of the Pacific Mini Games and people want to do mm-hmm. something different outside of, say, the normal sports of, you know, fighting or rugby league, rugby union and soccer?
I hope I'm going to answer your question correctly, but it made me realize that like sports is beautiful and my accomplishment was also their accomplishment. And it made me feel like I wanted to keep going because it's not every day where other people are excited about your goals and your accomplishment. And I felt like it united the Pacific Islands in a way.
Nice. And you're not only achieving, I guess, on the racetrack, but also off it as well. So you're part of the Oceania board for triathlon. Like, how has your position on the board helped with growing the sport across the Pacific Islands?
I'm not entirely sure yet, but I know there's a bunch of awareness that, oh, okay, you can make something out of triathlon because it's a minor sport. And I think people think it's a hobby sport instead of like, oh, you can make this as your job. I'm still navigating through that.
Okay, so you say you're on the board for like, say, 10 years. And from now, like, what would you like to see in your time as a board member and in the future for triathlon?
So right now, my goal was to close the gap between the communication from, let's say, Australia and New Zealand versus into the Pacific Islands, because I think some information doesn't get to us. You know, we're smaller and we need to kind of fight for all the information that we can get. And I'm really grateful that I get a position on this board, as well as Lani, who's from Samoa. And I feel like the island is being represented very well. And the board right now from Australia and New Zealand, they really accept us and they really want to grow the sport in our region. So it's a really, really, it's a very great team. I think we all respect each other and we try to understand what our situations are, because, you know, every island is different. And then Australia and New Zealand are really big and they really just want to help us. But during my time on the board, I would love to see another athlete come out from the Pacific Islands. Not just Guam, like, I don't care which island it is. Like, I want to see another athlete represented at the biggest stage.
And before we wrap it up, I've got to give a massive shout out to all the incredible athletes who took part in the Oceania Athletics Masters Cup 2025 held in Nuku'alofa in Tonga over the past week. The event officially wrapped up on Saturday and the ABC Pacific crew were lucky enough to meet and chat with some of the inspiring competitors and people behind the scenes who made it such a memorable tournament.
My name is Sam Valley Adams and I am the chairperson for the Athletes Commission at Oceania Athletics. I'm also on their council and the chairperson for the World Athletics Athletes Commission. Athletics is such a fantastic sport with a lot of crossover. Definitely kids should start in the world of athletics because, you know, the skills you pick up here, you can definitely transfer it over to rugby, netball, basketball, volleyball, touch, whatever it may be. So give athletics a try. It's also good for your mental health and well-being, and everybody can do it at any age, at any level.
Yeah, it's a great experience to represent Micronesia. This is my first time representing the Micronesian region, and I think it's more fun to do that. And yeah, it was amazing.
Well, it's great, good. Actually, love it. Representing my own country in the para athletics.
Here with Pats, it's at the village when I'm with my team, like enjoying playing cards, listen to music.
So I have been obviously been an athlete for over 20 years, and now I'm on the other side of retirement. I love the sport with a passion. I feel like, you know, the Pacific has a lot of talent, but just take some passionate people to try and help our people, especially our Tongan people, to reach their potential, and also just to try and upskill them in the areas that they need upskilling, as well as their administration, to do the best they can for the athletes, because at the end of the day, the athletes is what counts and is the most important part of this whole process.
I like that event there to provide strength for my legs.
What I like about it is that it makes my mind strong and continue on my future to be a best long distance.
Why I enjoy my events? Because it's track. It's track and field. So, yeah, I love the sports. I love all of the things that I learn.
I do the 100 meter yesterday and I ran terrible time. Like, it's not my best, but when I ran the 200 meter, I ran my PB 21.9.
Actually, love it. Representing my own country in the para athletics.
Tonga has done an amazing job hosting these Oceania Cup, and we are looking forward to coming back for 2031 for the games when they host it, and just to be a part of that will be absolutely fantastic.
A big thank you to everyone who got those chats, and Jamie, to you, of course. We always love meeting people in sport from across the region.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, this is Fresh Off the Dome, and it is our Quizmaster game to test your knowledge of sport in the Pacific. Every week, I will ask three questions. Mel, Jamie, you know the drill. Use your buzzer if you think you know the answer, and of course, you can play along at home as well. And let's get into Fresh Off the Dome. Question number one. We ready, ladies?
Ready.
We ready.
Oh, that was a nice little ready. Yes, here we go. We're in for a good one. Keeping on the topic of Oceania Athletics Masters Cup, there were competitors from all sorts of backgrounds, different sporting experiences, different islands, and most notably, different ages. And this one is multiple choice. How old was the eldest competitor at this year's competition? Is it A, 87, B, 90, or C, 94? They are some ages right there.
Jamie.
Go for it, Jamie.
Yeah, this is a wild guess, so I'm just going to go with 90. I think it's A or B.
B. You've gone with B.
B, yeah.
Okay, Mel, what are you thinking here?
A, I'm B, thinking, or C? What's A?
87, 90, or 94?
87? Okay, so Jamie's gone with 90. I'm going to go with 87.
Both incorrect.
94?
Whoa. New Zealand's Jim Blair. 94 years of age and still going strong. He competed in the discus event, finishing, get this, an impressive fifth place out of 12. And I want to see the footage of this because, holy, 94. That's people in nursing homes. Just, yeah, mate, like, no way. Can't even walk properly.
I don't think I'll even be walking at 70.
I don't know. I don't even think I'll be alive at 87, let alone doing discus at 94. That is impressive.
That is so impressive.
Jim Blair, you sir, you're a national hero. But let's get to question number two. Rarotonga recently claimed a major regional title in a youth competition over the weekend, competing against teams from across the Pacific as part of preparations for the 2027 Pacific Games. The event featured competitors using a, I don't even know how to say this properly, but I think it's a hobby dragoon.
What?
Is it A, sailing, B, rowing, C, canoeing, or D, surfing?
So can you give me the options again? I'm still stuck on hobby dragoon.
I know, I can say it in Nawanga Nitawase, but I can't say hobby dragoon properly. So, yeah, whatever that is, which athletes compete using the hobby dragoon? Is it in sailing, rowing, canoeing, or surfing?
Melissa, go, I'm going to take a wild guess and say canoeing.
Jamie, what are you going with?
I'm going to go with sailing.
Jamie, you're off to a flying start. It is 1-0. It is sailing. The Hobby Dragoon is designed to train young sailors, taking them from beginner skills to performance racing. It is targeted at 12 to 14-year-olds. So, yeah, there you have it. I think it's a crew of three, and it has a length of 3 meters. But we still have one more question to get to. Because we're flying at the moment. What two nations are going head-to-head at the Pacific Championships this weekend? Wait for it. In the women's game.
Jamie,
there she is.
Oh, no. Yeah. I knew it.
Oof. Australia and New Zealand.
Can you give me, like, the mascot thing of the name after Australia and New Zealand?
Oh, Gillaroos and Kiwi fans.
Ding, 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 ding. Of course, you would have got that right. Being a rugby league nation in PNG, always up to date with rugby league. And we have two fantastic games on this weekend. We with the Kiwi Ferns and the Gillaroos, as well as Tor Samoa take on the Kiwis as well. But Jamie, you win this one 2-0. Yay. Round of applause. Give me a thing on the panel, Tiana. No, press the button that gives us a bang on the desk. We've come a long way from banging on the desk to pressing a button somewhere on the paneling thing. I've got no idea what it's called, but anyway, what a fun episode, because that brings us to the end of our show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, our number one PNG journalist, Jamie Huddle.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you so much for having me at the last minute.
No,
and thank you to Mel as well. I had a lot of fun.
And thank you to your phone for hanging in there as well. And a big thank you to Melissa Fare. Thank you so much.
Thank you to my Sam for having me. And thank you again, Jamie. Congratulations on that win.
Absolutely. And Jamie, make sure you ice up the shoulder and the ankle. Hopefully it's good to go for whatever sport you're going to play. And please do not get injured. And another big thank you to our listeners for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.